What's up, guys? Welcome to Ringside Geeks. My name is Dave. Joining me tonight is Tom.
How about it, guys?
And we're going to give you something a little different. These Ringside Geeks mini episodes are usually with Monroe and John talking about New Japan Wrestling and all the indies and stuff like that. But this time we have an interview for you. I met this wonderful lady at Wizard World Madison, and in our conversation about cosplay and geeky stuff, we discovered she is a huge wrestling fan, and I told her about our podcast and thought, well, let's get her on the podcast and talk about our shared fascination and love for Finn Balor's abs. or just Finn Balor in my case, but
they are fabulous. They are.
I welcome Super Casey to the show, our first guest.
Hi guys, I'm so excited to be here. And Finn Balor's abs are currently my screensaver on my phone, so we could talk about those for the next 30 minutes.
We could. Yeah, I'm sure not many women would argue, or men.
I'm completely, I'm good with it. Trust me. I got the old man body. I'm down. Hey, what would I do with those?
Old man dad bod?
I do, exactly.
It's the best kind of bod to have. I really think so.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's just start with how we met. Your cosplay at Wizard World Madison. You do a ton of cosplay. All of it's awesome. I've gotten a chance to look at it and now follow you since then. That was like September, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. And what got you into cosplay to start with?
So I've been cosplaying since 2009, and I've always been a comic book reader. I started reading comics when I was about 8 years old, and I just loved the world. I fell in love with just everything geeky and kind of pop culture. And when I was a freshman in college, I saw this advertisement for the Superman Celebration, which is this outdoor festival, basically worshiping Superman in Metropolis, Illinois. And on this pamphlet, everybody was in costume, and I was like, shut the front door. People dress up? What?
I've actually seen Metropolis, Illinois. My wife's family lives up in Minnesota, so we go by Metropolis, Illinois. You see that exit, and you're like, what? Really? This is for real?
There is a Metropolis. Yeah, like when you're leading up to the exit, you see all the billboards like, Superman is here. You're like, this whole town is based around Superman. Like, for those who haven't been to Metropolis, like, their center, like, where their courthouse would be, like, their chamber of commerce, is a giant Superman statue. So when I say that the whole town is worshiping Superman, they definitely make their entire tourism living off the town based off of Superman.
It's like that, like that town that Captain Kirk is from, where they have the statue of Kirk and...
Yeah, I mean, if you have the name, you might as well do it, right?
Absolutely.
Just
lean into it, sure.
I mean, if there was a Gotham City, I would visit Gotham City all the time. I mean,
I don't know if I'd visit.
Well, there's plenty of people go to Philly just to see the Rocky statue. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I started by I found this pamphlet. I saw that people were dressing up, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do this. And I made my very first costume, which was Supergirl. I made it out of like a bed sheet from Goodwill and tube socks for the boots, and it was terribly, terribly crappy. And that just kind of, I went and I had an amazing time. I got to hang out with a bunch of kids, and I was dressed as Supergirl, and it was just such a rush to be the character that I loved reading about. And then it just turned into an addiction from there, and I've been doing it ever since.
Is it taking on these outfits and these personas, I guess, is it kind of empowering? Do you really feel like the character at times?
Yeah, definitely. More so in some characters. Like, I'm not a method actor cosplayer, so I don't like put on a costume and I'm not that character. There are amazing cosplayers out there like Thousand Faces and Captain K cosplay, who when they put on a character, Captain K does J. Jonah Jameson from the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And sweet. He is that character. Like, he carries around a custom newspaper that says Spider-Man's a menace, and he will yell at Spider-Man and be like, menace! Like, I mean, he gets into it. Like, he is the character. I'm not as cool as that. I just make my costumes. I love the fabrication behind it. But it is empowering. I mean, to wear something that you spent $300 on or 300 hours on, that's empowering itself.
Yeah. I've always, and I don't know if you get this request, but I've wanted to, you know, when we do these cons, interview the cosplayers as their characters, you know, outside of character and inside, because, you know, you got to talk to the person about crafting the cosplay and all of that, but I always thought it would be kind of funny to do the interview in character as well. Do you ever get that request?
I think as a not method actor cosplayer, I probably don't.
Sure.
Because I don't, my brand is not based around me being in character.
Right.
Harley Quinn is an easy one for me to do. I love to jump into the persona of Harley Quinn because I feel like watching the Batman animated series growing up and, you know, reading Gotham comics all my life, like, I feel like that's an easier character just for me to understand what she's doing and why. Mm-hmm. She's crazy. That's it. Done. So, I mean, like, there is occasion where I'll be in Harley Quinn and I can give a podcast something, you know, depending on what's happening around me or if I'm, just a couple shows ago, I was in Harley Quinn and my sister was in Catwoman, and I was hitting the table with a crowbar that I had. It was a rubber crowbar, and this boy walked by and he was like, "Oh God, we gotta call Batman. He was probably 8 years old. He's like, "Oh Mom, we gotta call Batman." Awesome. And I looked at him and was like, "Nuh-uh, Puddin', you ain't gonna catch us." And he died. He was done, like, for the rest of the day. I blew his mind that I was Harley Quinn, and it was awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome,
yeah. Do you have your favorite comic book character, and then your favorite cosplay? You know, I'm sure it's hard to choose, but one that's, like, your go-to that you like to go back to, even though I'm sure you like to mix it up and do new things, but...
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't follow my page, I've actually made 77 costumes as of now.
Wow.
Some of those are retired, but I've made 77 costumes. Goodness, this is hard. Okay. So since we're on a wrestling podcast, I will tell you that I have cosplayed Hulk Hogan, full mustache and all.
I've seen pictures of that one. That one's great.
So I love cosplaying Hulk Hogan, and I actually cosplayed him before I was a wrestling fan, so I knew like two lines of his. Like, I knew like "Listen here, brother," and
you can't do it. You gotta do it.
"Listen here, Mean Gene." There you go. Yeah, so I mean, like, I would go like kids would come up and wrestling fans are nuts, like, as I know now. So
right.
As a fan, they're coming up and they're seeing this female Hulk Hogan with a mustache. That one is probably the most fun costume I own.
Nice.
And I'm working on Ultimate Warrior right now, so I can be nuts and have all the fringe and, you know,
just run around
crazy.
Yeah. Snarl, kinds of great stuff.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I'm excited to make all the fringe.
Okay, so let's transition into wrestling. What got you into being a wrestling fan?
To be honest, I have no idea. I really have no idea. So I would say that I'm still a new wrestling fan. I've been watching for about a year. I went to a show in the fall last year, and we decided we were gonna, like, our friends decided we were gonna wrestle each other. And a buddy of mine threw up on the TV, and I can remember the exact match he threw up. He threw up the Edge versus Mankind.
Oh, sure.
And, like, they had thrown, tacks on the mat.
Oh, that was the hardcore match, yeah.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was freaking nuts. Like, they're wrestling on these tacks, and then there was the barbed wire bat.
That was when Edge went through the flaming table, if I'm right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was so much blood and just, like, craziness. Obviously, that's not how wrestling is now, but we watched this, and it blew my mind. I was like, wait. This is what wrestling is. And it wasn't even all the, like, craziness. It was the energy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that energy. I think that watching a match and just seeing what could happen. I'm definitely a believer in this stuff. Like, most of my friends will say that their favorite part about watching a pay-per-view is watching it with me because they're watching my reaction to what's happening.
That's awesome. Me, you know, there's four of us on this podcast, and every so often we'll get on Skype, and because we're from different areas of the country, we'll get on Skype and we'll like watch it while talking to each other, and that can be fun and it can be angry. Some of us take it too seriously. But yeah, the reaction part of it is a lot of fun when you're just sitting back as a fan and just enjoying the show. It's infectious.
It is. I don't know if I've ever, as a longtime comic book fan and a comic book convention fan, I still feel this energy from wrestling fans that I've never felt from any type of fandom before. Hmm. I went to my first Raw event. It was live in Indianapolis, and the entire stadium was like an adrenaline rush just sitting in there with everybody. It didn't matter who was wrestling. It didn't matter if it was terrible or awesome or whatever was happening, but the feeling in the air was like, we are here for one thing. Doesn't matter who you're rooting for or what's happening. And it was just infectious.
Yeah,
you get certain towns like that. It's just certain towns can carry that, but then there's other towns that are just drowned out. But yeah, I get what you say, because I went to Charlotte. Charlotte was just like that too. Atlanta, just like that too.
There's definitely an atmosphere at those live events, and WWE does a great job of producing it and making it feel special, even though it's, you know, their 1 millionth Raw episode. It's still special to that one town and to that one person that's coming. It's their first, so. They have a good way of making it feel like electric, and the crowd, an educated crowd, can help that too, with their their chanting and the excitement and, you know, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of these people, a lot of the crowd kind of led the chants and things like that. And I was like, oh, wait, we're chanting? Like, as a new fan, I was like, oh, we're chanting? Yes, let's chant, please. This is awesome. Or like,
as she looks to her left, what am I supposed to say? Okay.
Or the Ric Flair call that kept happening, like the woo. And I was like, this is the greatest moment of my life to start this Ric Flair call. Like, you do it and then everybody just falls behind you and you're like, yeah, I'm awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, if you get there early, that's all there is chanting and woos before it even starts.
So, Casey, as a new fan, Finn Balor's abs aside, who would you say is your favorite right now?
So right now I'm really addicted to Lucha Underground. I am a fan. I am a huge fan, man. These high flyers, there's something about the energy behind watching luchadors wrestle that I can't get over. I binge watched everything. I'm totally caught up and it's amazing. So I would say that probably Prince Puma right now is who I'm following pretty heavily.
That is huge. I'm a big Brian Cage fan.
Oh, awesome.
I can't believe Brian Cage hasn't been. He's the guy that Vince McMahon would dream about, which I'm surprised because he's huge. He does all the high flying. He's like a big, huge luchador, but he's still over there in Lucha. I'm expecting Vince to probably go after him eventually. Because he's the kind of guy he likes.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously with Kalisto making a great appearance on like 205 Live, you know, we're definitely seeing a little bit of love for luchadors right now. So, I'm excited to see what happens with the luchadors because I really find them so entertaining, and I think kids find them entertaining. Like when I went to Raw, and Kalisto came out to face Enzo, all the kids around me went freaking crazy for Kalisto. Nuts! They lost their minds. They weren't paying attention the whole time, but Kalisto came out, and everything is okay. So I'm excited that luchadors might be like more presented on the main roster.
And there's a good chance that Prince Puma, or Ricochet is what he's known as, he may be headed to WWE because he confirmed last month he's wrestled his last match in Japan and he doesn't have...
He's heading to NXT, right?
That's the rumor. Yep.
That's the rumor.
which would be,
I'm excited.
Which would be cool. I mean, he's good friends with like Apollo Crews. He lived with Apollo Crews for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got ties to WWE, and you know, he's dating Tessa Blanchard, who was in the women's tournament on the network. So, yeah, it would be cool. You know, not every guy needs to go to WWE, but I think he would do very well there.
I agree. I mean, I think he's doing some stuff. He's got some moves that we haven't seen in a while in WWE. So, mm-hmm. or at least they're in the, you know, my long year of watching it, of course. We haven't seen a lot like Puma, you know? I'm excited.
All that history that you have.
Yeah, all that history I have. I'm so knowledgeable about everything.
You know what? You did something that the other three on here don't do, is you referenced Lucha Underground, and I love that. So you are now my best friend.
Oh, done. I mean, Lucha Underground and the Bullet Club are my two go-tos, and we have to talk WWE. So there we go.
Bullet Club. Okay. Do you have a favorite Bullet Club member?
I mean, but Finn Balor. I mean, I know he's not a Bullet Club member now.
Yeah.
But,
hey, well, it's kind of like it's once a Bullet Club, always a Bullet Club. You know,
100%. Mm-hmm, yeah. Can I say Stephen Amell? Because I feel like I really have to rep that arrow being on Bullet Club.
Absolutely. I just got my Vigilante Club shirt in on last Friday. So
that shirt is awesome.
I'm waiting for mine. I'm so excited.
And he releases it, and then the next day he releases the hoodie, and I'm like, man, why didn't you do that first?
I know, I'd rather have the hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely right now, because it's going to be cold.
Now I got to spend more money. just keep
Take
feeding
my money, please.
Feeding the Bullet Club's wallets.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
You need to support the faction.
It could go to worse places. All right, so now that you've been to one Raw, you go to a lot of these conventions, and I actually got a photo op for the first time at that Madison convention with Becky Lynch. Have you met? I know you have. I've seen your Instagram. How many wrestlers have you actually met?
Let's see. Three? So far, only three.
Okay.
And the reason being is I'm not, to be completely honest, in WWE, I'm not a huge women's mm-hmm. wrestling fan. There's just something about it. And maybe it's because I was, like, now I'm watching Lucha Underground, and, like, the women in Lucha Underground are just baller. Like, they're just so good. And then you watch, like, Alexa Bliss, and no offense to the goddess, but she ain't holding up her end of the bargain to anybody right now.
Can I just say Ivelisse?
Oh, my God.
Yes, please.
That's all I just... Just watch. Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
It.
I just high-fived you right there.
Done.
Wow.
So with Wizworld in particular, we always try to bring on one male and one female. So that like already takes down half the people I want to meet, because I don't really want to meet any of the females that we bring mm-hmm. on. And towards the end of the year, when I actually started working for Wizworld, we were working with kind of the same wrestlers, or their schedules were too tight for me to get in to meet them. I have met Samoa Joe in passing because I was like opening the door for him. And
yeah.
That was pretty cool. He's a big freaking dude.
Mm-hmm. Did he thank you? Did he thank you?
I mean, I don't even remember, to be honest. Yeah. I was just like admiring how big he was in person. Like, so I did meet the Undertaker this year, and I got my photo with him.
Ooh.
I was going to ask him, I was like, I'm going to ask him to do the dead man pose with me. I'm going to ask him, mm-hmm. he'll say whatever. And then I walked up and he complimented my pink hair. And then I was done. I was like, I can't even ask him anything now.
It's
He's
over.
Too nice.
It's over. Yeah. Yeah. I had requested Becky to do the too sweet with me. But she like, she said something about my shirt, I think. And I like lost my mind and couldn't speak English, but I'm like, real quick, can we do this? And I was just like so embarrassed at that point that it was over.
Yeah, that's how it was with Undertaker. As I walked up and I was like, you know, we with being staff, we sometimes get in like right before the rush or right after the rush, so it's mm-hmm. a little bit it's a tiny bit more intimate than just having to be funneled through.
Right.
So me and my buddy walked up, and The Undertaker immediately put out his hand for us to shake hands with him. And I was like, oh my God, like we're shaking hands with the Undertaker, first of all, like that's crazy. And then he said that my pink hair was cute. I'm done.
What else do you need?
I don't even know what to say to you.
right.
You're so sweet. And then like his picture came out and the photographer was like, that was the biggest smile he had. I mean, he's not smiling in my picture at all, but the photographer's like, that's the happiest it looked all day. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, meeting a legend like that is amazing. Even as, you know, he's not been around since I've been a fan.
Right.
He retired this year, right?
That's
he got defeated and then left his stuff in the ring.
Yeah, that's the thought is that he's retired. Yeah.
I love what she said. Got beaten and left his stuff in the ring. That's pretty much what it was.
We'll find out. Yeah, after the first of the year, we'll find out. Maybe around Royal Rumble if he's gonna do one more WrestleMania, but I doubt it.
Maybe he went back and got it. I don't know.
But John Cena's left his stuff in the ring before, and he's come back, so.
Yeah.
Guys, we can't talk about John Cena.
Thank you.
All right, who else have you met? Undertaker. Yeah, Undertaker's enough, but.
I met the Hardy Boys.
Okay.
And they were phenomenal. The Hardy Boys, when I became a fan, the very first match I ever watched was when Balor was teaming up with them. So it was Matt and Balor facing the Bar, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
And that was like one of the first matches I watched as a fan. And so I have a thing for the Hardy Boys right now. I love their energy. I don't know a bunch about their history. Obviously they've been around forever. Mm-hmm. But I love who they are as people. Yeah. So I got to meet them recently and it was behind the scenes. I was escorting them and doing things and they were just so nice. They were ridiculously nice.
I have to ask, did Matt speak to you like a normal person or did he have a certain way about it, the way he spoke?
He actually did speak to us in a very normal way.
Okay.
But I did get that question a couple times. So, sure. He definitely talked to me in a very just normal way.
Okay. Yeah. Cause if you watched Raw, you know what they're going towards now, yeah. With that character, the character he had in TNA. So.
Yeah. I just watched the promo between him and Wyatt,
yep.
Where he like, Wyatt and I'm like, oh man. I mean, I'm not a huge Wyatt fan. He's my nemesis as much as I'm concerned.
Sure.
He fights with my boy Balor, so Wyatt and I will have words. But Matt, I think it's a goofy, kind of cheesy character they're bringing back, and I like that part of Raw. So
yeah, there's a place for it. Yeah.
I met Jeff back, he was a house show here and we stood in line for a long time. My son was probably like 12 years old at the time. And Jeff, he signed everything. He shook every hand and Jeff Hardy is just was a real dude. I mean, that was before he got into substance problems, but I'm pretty sure he's just that kind of dude.
Yeah, he was very, very nice to us. Like, I gushed over them a little bit. I'm a natural fangirl, so I gushed over them. And Jeff just, like, put his hand on my shoulder, and he just listened to every word that I had to say. And he was just so nice. And he still had his arm up in the sling from the surgery. Mm-hmm. But they were both very, very nice.
Awesome. Yeah, what's interesting is a lot of these guys are extremely humble when they're at their conventions and stuff. But you know, you hear the stories about them getting upset at people at airports and in the bathroom and stuff like that. And that makes total sense because it's their personal time. But these guys, the Bullet Club, we went to a signing with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and Cody. And the lines are just enormous and they don't leave until every person's got their autograph. And Stephen Amell is the same way at his Heroes and Villains cons. Like, it's just it's really good to see these guys supporting their fans as much as their fans support them. So, and then to hear that about, you know, the Hardys and Undertaker, and especially a guy like Undertaker, who's, you know, just a stud, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is with us is as staff of these, I'm a staff member of these conventions, they don't have to take us, right? Like, they don't have to say yes when I ask for a photo at the beginning or the end of their session. And all these wrestlers say, yeah, I mean, all these wrestlers are like, oh, staff wants pictures, bring them on in. Like, let's do this now. And I'm like, oh crap, we're doing this right now. Undertaker is okay with taking a picture with me. Holy crap. I'm done. I died.
That's so cool. Okay. So going forward, WrestleMania season is just around the corner. Is there right now a dream match that you would want to see at WrestleMania, like Finn Balor versus insert person or anybody at WrestleMania?
Oh man.
yeah, I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So I think my dream match just happened. So I think that's why I'm, AJ Styles versus Finn Balor was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything that I had wanted to watch and more. I'm a Raw follower. I don't really follow SmackDown as much, but if I was to follow SmackDown, it would be to freaking just watch AJ Styles because he's phenomenal, and to ogle Randy Orton because, I mean, that man's just beautiful. So those would be the two reasons why I watch SmackDown.
Okay.
But I definitely watch Raw. So
I laugh because my wife says the same thing. She's like, Randy Orton is just he's perfect. And I'm like, no, he's not. Because the fanboy in me is like, no, I hate him. Oh, stop.
My best buddy is the exact same way. I told him I want to get an RKO shirt for Christmas just to wear it around him. That's it.
Oh.
Like, I mean, I'm not even really a hardcore Orton fan at all, but I will wear that man's shirt just to piss off everybody.
Sure, sure. Yeah. We often bring up Alexa Bliss just to piss off Monroe, our other host.
Oh, yeah.
She is not happy that Alexa Bliss gets the title and her girl Sasha Banks gets squashed all the time.
No, I mean, Sasha at least has some talent, so.
I mean, I am legitimately an Alexa fan. I don't think her skills aren't there yet, but she's got the character down. But yes, wrestling skills are not there yet.
I think that's the hardest part about being a new wrestling fan is that you guys who have all these years of experience or who have been following it since you guys were kids, you guys understand like the company. With me as I explain this. Like, you guys understand the company, so you understand like the character versus skill versus like mics versus social media versus the whole around company. So as a company does something, and like this, like Jason Jordan trying to work towards being a heel and having like this huge storyline, I'm very much like, wait, what's happening? What, you guys can predict this crap happening? And my buddies will be like, yeah, we can see this coming from a mile away. This is what's going to happen in the next 12 episodes of Raw. And I'm like, huh? How do you know this? Like, and it's just because you guys know the company and you know what works and what they've done and how the writers work. And I still don't see that. So that's probably why,
childish
me is very fun to watch while I watch.
Yeah, no, it's I wish I could go back to that mode, like when I was in the Attitude Era, when I'd watch pay-per-views at my dad's house and get my friends together, and it was that feeling of, you have no idea what's going to happen. Are Edge and Christian going to beat the Hardys in this ladder match, or, you know, whatever it is, and just that excitement level of, you don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of gone at this point, just because of the internet and the knowledge of, like you said, the business, and knowing that, well, this guy is getting this push because he's seen as money for the company, so Roman Reigns is going to win everything. And
yeah.
So that does lose it a little bit for you, but, you know, I try to maintain my optimism, and people are down because Finn Balor loses all the time, and I don't care. I'm still a Finn Balor mark. I don't care. I'm still a fan, and you should be too if you like him, so...
Yeah, and anytime a woman's like, why do you watch wrestling? I pull out a Finn Balor photo, and I'm like, this is why I watch wrestling.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, plans for the new year, like conventions and things? Do you have anything working out yet, or still waiting to be planned?
So I book out pretty far in advance, definitely with being a staff member at the convention. So I already have about 31 shows planned for next year.
Ooh, wow.
I'm hoping my wrestling goals is that Wizard World will bring Fowler on for one show,
mm-hmm.
and I will cry and then meet him and then cry a bunch more. So that's my wrestling goals. I hope to meet Finn Balor in 2018.
I bet it happens. If you cry, he will hug you.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Oh my god, guys, we can't even talk about it. Okay, I get emotional talking about the possibility of Finn Balor just being next to me. Like, I don't even know. Okay.
God. That's funny. I think it's gonna it's gonna happen for you. I think so.
Yeah,
I hope so. And to watch WrestleMania as a fan, like, mm-hmm. I am excited to watch the possible, like, just to watch what happens and unfolds. And I know, like, people are saying, like, all this crazy stuff is gonna happen. Like, we're speculating, like, Triple H versus Angle and like all this craziness. And I'm just excited to watch it as a fan and know what's happening. That's the most exciting part for me, that I actually know what's happening.
The spectacle of the whole 6-hour day of watching wrestling. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot my... talk about, you have kind of like this charity thing going on your Facebook and on your social media. What's going on, and how can people get involved?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, my cosplay partner, who actually was the one who introduced me to the Edge and Mankind match, his name is Nightmage. He's a deputy sheriff, and he donates all of his cosplaying and cosplaying efforts back to charity. So when we started duoing together, we started to try to figure out what was the best way to give back during the year. And we came up with this Christmas Super Mage Christmas tour. And what we do is we get a bunch of items donated to us, and then we raffle them off. Raffle tickets are $5, and they're just incredible items donated from prop makers and artists. And we've got like YouTube series Man at Arms donates like custom made weapons, and we get like convention badges donated and all this stuff, and we raffle them off for $5. This year we added T-shirts, and then we added a VIP experience that Wizard World has donated, where they will, if you donate or purchase more than $75 worth, then you get to go to any Wizard World show in 2018. You get a free hotel and $200 cash allowance.
Wow.
And you get a VIP pass, which our VIP passes are not super cheap. So it's an amazing opportunity, and all of it, everything we bring in, goes back to Tri-State, the Tri-State area. So we donate it to needy families through the United Way. We donate it to animal shelters. This year we added assisted living homes. So we're actually going out to homes for the elderly and helping with just their Christmas spirit and donating presents to them. And it's just that time of year that some people need a little bit more help. When I was growing up, my mom suffered just a lot, and we didn't have a ton of money, and my family would get a lot of assistance through churches and my school and things like that. And I thank God every day for the assistance I had. And I want to be that same type of person now as an adult, dressing up in a Robin costume, donating all my time to give back to charity. And, that's what we do around this time of year. So you can follow us, follow the charity on supermage.storenv.com or on my social media under Super Casey Cosplay.
I'll have links to all that in the show notes so everybody can very easily.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
And hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, this time of year is hard for some. Even if you're just a regular family, a family of four or five. I mean, this time of year is hard for everybody because mm-hmm. you have presents, you have food, you have people, kids are out of school, which costs more money automatically because they're eating more. You know, it's just a lot of hard times for people this time of year. So we try to give back because we are fortunate enough to do so.
It's very cool. It's an excellent thing to do. And I'm so glad to have you on here to talk about that. And hopefully this time next year, we'll have a shirt that we can at least donate, and you guys can throw it in the raffle. I don't know if it'll even be worth $5, but we can at least
No, I love small podcasts. It's my favorite. So the last time I was on a wrestling podcast, I did a raffle for their shirt. So next year I'll do a raffle for your shirt.
Awesome. And it'll be, we have one in mind and it'll be pretty cool. I think you're already going to like it based on what you've talked about today. So,
it's either going to be a Lucha or it's going to be the Bullet Club, you guys, and I'm done. I'm ready to go. I'm buying it right now.
Awesome. I don't even need to. Excellent. All right. So we will put all the links to all your social media and then, of course, the Store Envy website so people can get involved and everybody can follow your awesome work on Twitter and any social media that you want. But what is your social media if you want to give that out?
I have Instagram and Facebook, and it's Super Casey Cosplay, and Casey is K-A-Y-C-E.
There you go. All right. Thank you so very much, Casey, for joining us today. And we were going to have you back. We're going to have you talk about how exciting WrestleMania was for you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited, guys. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me. And let's keep bringing this luchador love to people. That's what I
have
to say.
Absolutely.
I need you to come back because you and I, we connect on another level.
Let's do it, man. I'm ready.
they don't like to talk about the stuff we talk about.
Guys,
not even true.
No. You like to talk about less.
Well, not hey, Dave's okay. Dave's okay, but the other two, no, not so much. Lucha, yeah. Hey, we can talk about Lucha. You and me.
Let's do a whole Lucha. I'll do a Lucha costume. I'll make a whole build, and then what we'll do is we'll talk a whole episode of Lucha Underground.
Oh snap!
Well, yeah, we'll do that on the YouTube. There you go. Since you're gonna go to all that hard work, we'll make a video involved. All right. Thank you so much, Casey.
Thanks, guys.